Ezekiel 22:30 says, "I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one." You know, that's got to be the saddest verse in all the scripture. God's trying to find somebody to stand in the gap between him and people, between good and evil, and he says in the whole world he could find no one. You know, for the past several weeks we've been talking about America, about its past, and about its future, and about its present time. And being Father's Day, I just wanted to take the time this morning and consider the importance of a father to the family, to the community, to the church, and yes, and to America. And to especially look at the importance of being a man who lives with biblical values. Today I want to speak about the subject of values and to ask the question, where have all the values gone? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize this country, this culture, and even the church is in desperate need of some real men. That is, men who are clearly and completely and even courageously a biblical man, to realize that they are made by the hand of God, in the image of God, with the divine responsibility given to them by God to chart the course for their life, for their family's lives, for their culture, and for the world. And this morning I want to call every man who hears this message, whether it's here or it's on the radio or it's on the internet or wherever it is, to become a man of biblical values. Now, admittedly, our concept of manhood is somewhat flawed over the past several years. It seems that it's somewhere between Archie Bunker of yesteryear and Raymond of Everybody Loves Raymond of today. But see, there's problems with both those people. First of all, God did not create us to be bigoted, male chauvinists, know-it-alls, who belittle our wives, our children, and anyone who disagrees with us. But on the other hand, he didn't create us to be dummies of the house, who possess the intelligence of a junior high kid, who without a very perceptive wife would have a little possibility of handling anything in life. Truthfully, until we biblically define what a man really is, we have no hope of becoming the man that God wants us to be, men of character, men of biblical values. See, that's what America needs this Father's Day, men who will stand in the gap. In Judges 21, verse 25, the Bible describes a dark time in the history of Israel, a time much like we see in America today. It was a time when Israel had forgotten God. They were worshiping idols, and they were walking in darkness. It was a time when the values had all disappeared. And look what it says, and I think it says it all. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his eyes. Why? Because there was no standard. The values which people judge right or wrong by had vanished from Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Today, it's amazing. It is amazing to me how much concern there is about the disappearance of values in America, and it's not from the church. It's from secular. In fact, the Gallup did a poll not too long ago, and they found that 80% of Americans say that the number one problem in America is the disappearance of values, and that we're in a crisis of morality. You know, most people don't even understand what values are. Values are simply your core beliefs, and that determines your behavior. In other words, the kind of person you are is based on what you value. And values set your convictions, and convictions determine your conduct, and conduct determines your character. See, we're living in a time when people question whether or not there's even any kind of value set at all. Everybody's concerned about the spiritual condition and the moral condition of our nation, concerned about the breakdown of families and the tremendous rise in crime. And so people are asking all over, what's the problem? Over the last several years, most of the major secular magazines have done cover stories on that. Is the United States morally in trouble? Can we save our culture? Whose values? See, disregard for the truth has become epidemic in America. And that's not coming from the pulpits. That's coming from the secular news. And if I were to ask you right now to stand up and tell me what the latest scandal was in government, or the latest scandal in the church, or the latest scandal in economics or in business, you could name it. See, the problem is not just today, one scandal. It's been that way for many years in America, scandal after scandal, till pretty soon we don't even be bothered by them anymore. We're a scandal-ridden nation. So why is there so much concern about values? And why am I even speaking about this on Father's Day? Well, there's a lot of concern about values because anybody and everybody can see where our nation is headed. Some people don't want to admit it. Some people try to ignore it, but they know it's happening. And I'm speaking about this because I believe that the standards and values of a nation are taught by the parents to their children. So to begin this with Maureen, I want to first of all talk about the reason that I believe our values have vanished. And then I want to look at the result of that. And then I want to look at how we can bring them back. Number one, where have our values gone? What is the reason that the values that were set by our founding fathers that we've been studying the last several weeks, that they seem to be vanishing? And why do people today live by a different standard than even we lived 50 years ago? I want to tell you in two words what the problem is. Truth decay. Not tooth decay. Truth decay. There has been a decay of truth. We no longer value truth in America. Instead, we value two other things that replace truth. Number one, we value convenience. Is it easy? Number two, we value pragmatism. Will it work? Most Americans say, if it's easy and if it works for me and my family, then that's all I care about. I don't really care about the truth. It's easy, it's comfortable, and it works for me. And if it does, then that's good enough for me. Now, that's a major change in the values that America knew 50 years ago. 50 years ago, there was no doubt in people's minds what was right and what was wrong. The standards of right and wrong were made clear to everybody. Those things which we value, which were very different and everybody agreed on 50 years ago. But it's no longer that way. Now, that doesn't mean that 50 years ago, everybody did the right thing. But they knew when they did something wrong that it was wrong. And they would admit that it was wrong. They might choose to do what was wrong, but they would consider it and say they knew it was wrong. Today we're living in a time when people do something wrong and they say it's right. We have an entire generation of Americans who have grown up in a nation where values are no longer clear, where values no longer count, where there's no standard. It used to be when a preacher stood up in a pulpit and said such and such was wrong and such was right, we got a whole bunch of amens and yes. But today I can stand up here and say this is wrong and this is right, and I don't get the agreement. As a matter of fact, rather than agreement, there might be some controversy in the church. Some people may actually leave the church. Why is that? The message hasn't changed, but the values have changed. And it's because we've been sold a bill of goods. There are three philosophies that are taught today in our schools and everywhere we go, and they've crept into the American culture, and they've caused our values to vanish. And I want to go over these. You got study notes. You need to write these down in your study notes. Number one, individualism. The Bible says in Judges 21:25, every man did what was right in his own eyes. Individualism. That says, I'm the only one that matters. It's a philosophy that says, I will determine what is right for my life and what is wrong for my life. What's right for you may not be right for me. What's right, wrong for you may not be wrong for me. I'm not going to look in the Bible. I'm going to look at God. I'm not going to look at society. I'm not going to look at anybody else. I'm going to decide for myself and determine what my standard for values is going to be. Saying basically, I got to do what's right for me. Individualism has taken a place of those set values. I'll do what's right in my own eyes. Number two, secularism. Secularism basically says that God isn't necessary. It doesn't say there is no God. People say secular people don't believe in God. Oh, they believe in God. They just simply say there may be a God, but it doesn't make any difference because God really doesn't have anything to do with my life. So because our culture has basically said that God is unnecessary, we've taken God out of our society, out of the classroom. 50 years ago, every school day began with a reading of God's word and prayer. That no longer happens today. 50 years ago, the Ten Commandments were on the wall of every classroom. They're no longer there today. We've done all that we can in this nation to remove God and the truth of God and the authority of God out of every part of our nation. Why? Because God is unnecessary. We say, God, you may exist, but you really don't have any importance in my life. 50 years ago, more people went to church than did not go to church. Today is flip-flop. More people do not go to church in America than do go to church in America. Don't be fooled by the polls that you hear where 85% of Americans believe in God. In every poll, anywhere from 80 to 90% of Americans say they believe in God. But let me tell you what, they may believe in God, but they're saying by their actions that he does not matter anymore. Where do people get their morality? Where do they get their values today? Reality TV. You know all those shows where they go out and they find the most bizarre people in society and they put them on the stage and they say to us, this is normal. This is now your standard. And I got to tell you, it gets more bizarre every day. I expect any day to turn on the television and I'm going to see the intimate details of a bunch of biker drag queens or feminine nasties, and that is going to be my new normal. It's not entertainment. You know, it's real easy in America now to think you're doing okay. Because when you watch those shows, you say, well, I'm not as bad as them. I'm not as weird as those people. Romans 1:25, Paul says they have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. And they worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. And he says, amen. You know, we hear these stories about people worshiping little statues of wood and stone. And we say, oh, those poor, ignorant people. Let me tell you, we're a lot of ignorant people here in America, too. We've got our idols. Our idol is anything that takes the place of God. And secularism has become the religion of America. We're more concerned about the lives of the whales and the dolphins than about the dying souls of people. We're more concerned about the spotted owl babies than the millions of babies we abort every year. Individualism says it's all about me. Secularism says God is not necessary. And the third most dangerous is relativism, and that not your relatives that come and don't go home. That's not what we're talking about here. Relativism says that all things are relative. All morality is relative. All truth is relative. All values are relative. It says there is no absolute standard anymore for right and wrong. Something might be true for you, but that doesn't make it true for me. Something might be your standard, but it's not my standard. Here's one of the most familiar phrases that you can find from this. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. How many of you heard that? Well, let me tell you something. I can sincerely believe that Richard put water in this glass this morning. I can sincerely believe that with all my heart. Praise the Lord, he did. But what if that had been poison in there? My believing it was water wouldn't have made any difference. I would have been just sincerely dead. Let's say that you go out today and you decide to go to Stockton, which is not a good idea today. It's too hot. But let's say you went and you got to 99 and you decide to get on the freeway going to Sacramento and you get on the off-ramp instead of the on-ramp. And you're going up this off-ramp and you think it's the on-ramp. And some guy sticks his head out of the window, hey, what are you doing, dummy? Are you crazy? This is the off-ramp. And you say, well, it may be the off-ramp for you, but for me it's the on-ramp. What would happen? What would happen? I heard about a professor who stood up in his class and he said, there is no absolute truth. And one brave student stood up and said, are you absolutely sure of that? See, when people tell you there's no absolute truth, they don't realize that it's both illogical to say that and it's irrational to say that. First, it's illogical because when you stand up and say there's no absolute truth, you've just made an absolute statement. And number two, it's irrational to say there's no absolutes. Because we know there are things that are absolute. We know there are things we encounter. We know there are things that do not change. Gravity. Gravity is something that does not change. Now, I have never done it. But if I was to believe that I could get on this roof and jump off and not get hurt, I could sincerely believe that, but you know what would happen if I jumped off that roof. Unless one of you caught me, I'd get hurt. What if God, every few minutes, was to say, well, you know what, I think I'm just going to suspend the law of gravity for 5 minutes. What would happen to us? See, there's many laws in science that can't change. They're absolutes, but there's many laws in our spiritual laws, too. Relativism is the most widespread philosophy in America today, and the highest value they have is called tolerance. Did you know that one of the greatest things you can commit today in our culture is to be intolerant? You've heard that. The word intolerant is no longer means what it meant 50 years ago. If you look up tolerance in the dictionary, it says something like this, and it says it even today. It says, I will respect you and I will treat you with dignity even if I disagree with you. That's what Jesus did. He treated all people with respect. He treated all people with dignity even when he disagreed with them. That's what we need to do. But today, tolerance has come to mean that every idea is equally valid, that every lifestyle is equally right, that every idea is equally true. And that's absolutely false. It's an idea from hell. It's not true that every idea is equally valid, and every lifestyle is not equally right. The real truth is that truth is narrow. When some people talk about being tolerant today, they're really talking about being politically correct. I have to tell you today, as a Christian, if you're not a Christian today, I have to tell you today that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. You can believe anything else you want, but I'll tell you what, you're going to be in the smoking section in eternity if you believe anything other than that. That's what God said. No smoking and smoking section in heaven or in eternity. In Ephesians 4:17, God has said something about this kind of nonsense. He has said something to people who want to say truth is relative and every idea is equally right. Here's what he says. He says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Some people in America are so open-minded, their brains have fallen out. Truth is narrow. Truth is unchanging. Truth is universal. If something was true 2,000 years ago, it's true today. If something was right 2,000 years ago, it's right today. If it was wrong 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, it is still wrong today. It does not change. That's why our values have vanished. We bought this lie in our culture that we don't need God, that we can decide on our own what we have to do, and that all things are relative. It's a lie. So what's the result of these vanishing values? Number two, the Bible says at the time of Judges, every man did that which is right in his own eyes, and the result was chaos. You read the book of Judges. You find every sin, every lifestyle imagined. You find a nation in darkness under the judgment of God. Three things have resulted. Number one, families without foundations. We don't have a family anymore. Why? Because the family was instituted by God. God ordained and instituted the family. God said it very clear what the family is to be. Today, the idea of the family can be anything. It can be any combination of whatever you want. Two women living together, two men living together, whatever you want to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible is very clear what the family is. The family is a father and a mother and the children. And the father lives in the house and stays in the house. As a result, in the next 30 minutes in America, 200 children will be beaten, molested, or abused. 57 children will run away from home. 12 children will commit suicide in America. 285 children will become victims of a broken home. And every day in America, 14 children are murdered. 300 children are arrested for alcohol offenses. Why? Because we have no more foundation in the family. The one thing that Satan wants to do is break up the family. That's the strength of our nation. Number two, we have a government without God. In Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says, where there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. There's anarchy, there's violence. Proverbs 29:18 says, a nation without God's guidance is a nation in judgment. See, we've removed the name of God from every public building. We've taken the Ten Commandments from the walls. We've outlawed prayer and Bible in the schools. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation is destroyed, there has to be a standard by which we measure right and wrong. Our founding fathers founded this nation on the principles of the Word of God. Out of 15,000 documents and letters of the founding fathers, 34% contain quotes from the Bible. See, this is a nation founded upon divine principles and the values that are represented in God. And the farther away we get from that, the closer we are to destruction. You know, I got to tell you the truth. I read the Bible every day, and there are some things in the Bible I just don't like. There are many things in the Bible I don't understand. There are some things in the Bible that I read, and they just convict me. But I want to tell you something. Everything in that book is the truth. It doesn't matter if you like it. It doesn't matter if you agree with it. It's the truth. We have families without foundation. We have a government without God. And number three, we have a culture without conscience because our values have vanished. A culture of flip-flopping values, maybe. It's strange and weird that things that we used to call wrong, not that long, I'm not that old. I may look that old, but I'm not. Things that we used to call wrong are now called right. Things that we used to call right are now called wrong. Things that we used to say were preferred are now sophisticated. We've taken criminals and we turn them into celebrities. We make movies about them. We make TV shows about them. We call marriage out of date. We say nobody needs to get married. Marriage is unnecessary unless it's two men. Now, it's important. Why is it important for two men to get married, but it's not important for a man and a woman to be married anymore? I don't understand it. You know what the Bible says? Isaiah 5:20. Destruction is coming for those who say that evil is good and good is evil and dark is light and light is dark. That's what we have in our country today. Vanishing values. We have a government without God. We have families without foundation. We have a culture without conscience. So how can we fix this? What's the remedy? Psalmist said, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? If society ignores God's standards of right or wrong, if society doesn't value his word anymore, what can we do? The answer is if the foundation is destroyed, then you need to rebuild the foundation. And the foundation starts with God himself as a personal savior for each individual person. And if you're a father today, I don't care what you give your children, unless you give them an example of a godly parent, unless you show them your love for Jesus and teach them the things that are taught in the Bible, you have denied those children the most important thing in their life. You need to go back to the beginning. Start at the beginning with your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because morality is impossible without God. I know that the schools are trying to teach values. They're trying to teach morality. They have courses on values and courses on ethics, and they're trying to do them without mentioning God. But without God, morality is impossible. I didn't say that. You say, oh, Ted, I didn't say that. Abraham Lincoln said that. Did you know that a moral government without God is impossible? I didn't say that either. George Washington said that. Two of the greatest presidents we've ever had recognized that without God, we're in trouble. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have three choices today, the same three choices that Israel had. And we have to make them. You cannot walk out of here without making one of those choices. There's an external choice. You can say, I'm going to value my life by what society says. I'm going to value my life on their standards. I'm going to go with them. Or you can, number two, you can make internal, I'm going to determine. And number three, the eternal choice, which is the one you really got to make. You can say, I'm going to base my life on the standards of the Word of God. But you're going to have to read it. I know it makes a great coaster on your coffee table. But you're going to really have to read that Bible. Just wipe the dust off and read it. You need to build your life on something that won't change, has never changed, and will never change. This is for fathers, but it's also for mothers. It's for everyone else. Because in order to bring America back to one nation under God, it has to begin with God. We have to know him. We have to believe him. We have to teach him. And we have to live for him. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much for this day, this Father's Day, when we have an opportunity to celebrate those fathers in our lives. Some of our fathers have gone home to be with you, Father, and we thank you that they're with you today. It's a time to celebrate you as our Heavenly Father, the Father to all of us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this nation. I thank you that we are truly your nation. Father, I lift us up as we've slipped so far away. I still know that if we would just turn to you as your word says, if we would just call on your name and seek your face, if we would just pray that you would heal this land. We look forward to that day, Father. We look forward to that day when our nation leaders will celebrate you as they once did. will pray before they make decisions as they once did. And will lead a nation in your ways as they once did. We lift it all up to you now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
For my Lord.
Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield. Heard a voice from heaven saying, well, there is work to do. Well, I took my master's hand and I joined that heavenly band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
On the Battlefield for My Lord by the Solid Ground Trio. Hi, this is Pastor Ted. I want to wish you a happy Father's Day and look forward to seeing you next Sunday here at the lake right here on KVML.